Well, we are in the first end of the first week of June, and for almost everyone in this room, for most people, the majority of this people in the room, next week is your last week of school, and so you have tests this week, and starting next week, for most of you, you're going to have a tremendous amount of freedom, a tremendous amount of freedom. And so I'll just ask you guys a question. Just ask you guys a question out loud, which you can respond to. When you guys get done on Friday, all right, so picture yourselves, you guys have a half day on Friday. What are you going to do Friday afternoon? Okay? Sleep. Okay, that's a popular one. Sleep. So we know that Tina's going to be horizontal, curled up in a ball on her couch or bed. Oh, okay, she's got to go to work. Okay, what else? What else are you guys going to do? You know, it'll probably be a nice day. You know, it'll be Friday. You'll finish your last test. Have a few people sign your yearbook if you haven't caught them yet. And you'll be gone. So what will you guys do? Anyone else? What will you guys do? You can go ahead. Someone's birthday party, okay? Beach party. Beach party. All right, yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else is just like, I just can't wait so that I can... Play what? StarCraft?
Minecraft.
Oh, Minecraft. Okay. Yeah, first thing, go to the video games. Go to Minecraft, okay? All right, so yeah... you guys will just have a lot of freedom, and the world, you know, as soon as you go out those doors, the world is gonna kind of be knocking on your door of like saying, hey, there is all kinds of things, all kinds of distractions, all kinds of stuff that's like kind of beckoning you to go, okay, like come and like be a part of this, come do this, right? And today, as we look at this psalm. The psalmist is really honest, really, really open, about looking at life, looking out and seeing like how many things are out there that we can satisfy ourselves with, and also how other people seem to satisfy themselves with so many other things. But really, what I've been sharing with you these past couple of weeks as I think as you draw closer to just having a total amount of free time and freedom is I want you guys to, you know, find your pleasure, find your satisfaction in the Lord this summer. You know, just, if there's anything else, Minecraft, beach, birthday, sleeping, those are all fine, right? Those are all good things. God made those things for us to do, made the beach. God indirectly made Minecraft or whatever, you know. And those are all good, you know. But, hey, where do you guys ultimately, if you had your choice, where do you find your pleasure? And do you ever find your pleasure, your satisfaction in God? Where I'm like, if I could choose anything else, the first thing I would do out of I get out of school, I have some free time. I've got an afternoon. I've got an evening. I've got the rest of the week. The one thing I want to do is I would just go and just go out in the woods, go, you know, just go and meet with God. Do we ever have that kind of like, I'm going to take, and you can take him with you. You can take him with you to the birth. You can take him with him to the beach, right? But just like, where do you find your satisfaction? Or last week we looked at Daniel chapter 9, right? And we were looking at what to do when your world comes apart, when your world falls apart and everything is kind of pulled out. And I know that even though it's going to be the beginning of the summer, people are in general really excited. I know that there's some people, maybe a smattering of people here and in the church who are going through a trial, who are experiencing pain, who have a problem, like right now, currently I've got a problem, you know. And I know, again, for many who come into the doors of the church, their desire is not like the beach or sleep. Their thing is like, if I could have one thing in my life, it would be that this problem would go away. That this pain, that this trial, that whatever I'm in, I just want it to go away. And that would, if that would be one thing, if I could desire one thing, that it would be gone. And last week in Daniel, it's part of it is like, no, actually, you guys, sometimes instead of desiring the pain to be gone, sometimes it's better to go, oh, if there was one thing, it's that I would still be with you through this trial. I'd still remain with you through this pain. I'd still be with you this whole time we're together, okay? And really, that relationship is the one place where we can find pleasure, where we can find satisfaction, where a relationship, even would you put it this way, would you ever say, like, I would rather have a relationship with him and still have my problem, still have my trial, than to be rid of my problem, be rid of my trial. I'd rather know you and be in the midst of a heavy trial, heavy problem, than not know you and just not have problems, just be kind of like stable, just be, have everything just be copacetic, everything just fine. Because I'm telling you guys, this relationship that we talk about every week, you know, this thing, that is just the one place where we can find this. When if you have a good and solid relationship, that's the one thing that changes, it changes everything. It changes everything. You know, I think of Sarah, my relationship with Sarah. I think we've talked about, you know, places to live or places of vacation. I think about Sarah and I think, you know what? As far as relationships go, our relationship with God, relationship with people, I would rather, for example, I would rather be with Sarah, what's a small town in Michigan? I'd rather be in Utica or something, I don't know, just random small town with Sarah, than in Hawaii or something by myself. You know, I'd rather just be like with God, with him, experiencing trial, then I would be away from him. Even if I had, you know, all kind of the comforts of life, like a nice life, kind of the things that we look at from the outside and go, oh, that's a nice life. It's a comfortable life, right? I think sometimes. We take for granted. I think sometimes we forget, you guys. I think sometimes we forget how good we have it with God. We forget how good we have it with God. Sometimes we look out, we look around at people around us, and we're like, oh, sometimes I kind of, we forget how good we have it with Him. You know, have you guys ever seen, sometimes you'll see maybe on TV or in the media, people will talk about couples that are kind of mismatched. Like there'll be like a supermodel, and for some reason the supermodel kind of dates like a guy that's like, he's like an ordinary looking guy, you know, and he's got this supermodel who dates like this just ordinary, I don't know, you can probably, I thought of, there's a couple celebrities I thought of, like Angela Jolie dated this guy named, like Billy Bob Thornton, and he was just this really kind of, just normal, average looking guy, and you got Angela Jolie, actually there was a time when I was dating Sarah, and I would go to, there was this group that I had with a professor. And this professor I had, I went to him, and Sarah and I had just started dating, and I said, hey, can I? I'm kind of dating this girl, and can I? Every week we'd go to his house, a group of us, and we'd study the Bible, and it was part of this class that we were in, and can I bring Sarah with me? And he's like, okay. He was kind of skeptical about it, but he's like, okay, you can bring her with. And so, and other guys were married, and other guys had, there was one other guy that had a girlfriend, and so we'd come to the house, and we'd eat together, fellowship, and then the guys would kind of break off, the girls would break off. And after a while, Sarah and I would be going every week, and after a while, my professor, he came to me and he said, what are you doing with her? He's like, how are you, Brady, with her, with Sarah, you know? I'm like, ow, like, what are you saying? You know, he wasn't joking either. He wasn't, like, just pulling my, you know, some guys would be like, you're kind of, like, dating upwards, you know? But he was like, how, and he wasn't joking, you know? He was like, how are you, man, with her, you know? I'm like, sting, you know, like, and, but I was like, man, I think about it, I'm like, maybe. And then I kind of looked. I kind of was like, maybe I am, you know, maybe I'm like kind of like dating up, you know. And then there was another time I was at church, and this was back in Chicago, and one of the women who is a dear sister, you know, I'll be seeing her this summer, but when I go back to Wisconsin, I'll be preaching at this retreat there at the last church. She came to me once, and she's like, she just, I don't know what, she was just looking at Sarah for some reason, and I can talk about Sarah, she's not here, but I don't want to embarrass her, but she's like, Brady, do you realize how beautiful your wife is? I'm like, I just one of those things where after you're kind of with someone for a while, you kind of forget, you know, and I think sometimes you guys, when I look at us, I think, we're kind of like the dude who gets to, who's like wearing a super, like we something so greater than us, you know, someone so greater than us. Sometimes we like, I'm reminding myself, and I'm telling you guys, don't forget God, you know. It's like as if don't forget Him, you know. But it's like, no, actually, we're just lucky. We're actually just amazingly blessed just to know the God of the universe, But we forget sometimes. And this psalmist that we're going to look at today, one of the things I like about psalmists is that they're very, most of the time, they're just, all the time, they're just very, they're very honest. They're very open about what they're thinking. And this psalmist today that we're looking at, he's one that says, you know what, for a moment, I kind of looked out at what everyone else had, those who didn't know the Lord, and I'm like, I just would rather have that. And he kind of forgot about God, okay? So let's take a look. Look with me down. Look, if you have your Bibles, open them to Psalm 73. We'll take a look at this, what this psalmist has to say. Psalm 73, let's starting with verse 1, says this. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. All right, so this is the short little section here. You know, God is good to Israel. He's recognizing, hey, as I look out, I see that God is good to His people. I see that, you know, and we look out, we see God blesses people, those who are pure in heart, those who follow Him. He says, but as for me, at one point, my feet nearly slipped. I almost lost my foothold. What he's talking about is this. He's like, I kind of looked around at the world, and if I was really honest with myself, he's like, I envied the arrogant, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, all right? I envied those who were like, I kind of looked around, and I don't know if maybe you've experienced this before, where you're like, sometimes I know that God's good, but then sometimes I look at those maybe who are outside the church, and I'm like, man, why, they seem to have a pretty good life. I'm walking the obedient life, but then when I look around, I see, like, there's times when I'm like, maybe I should just do what they do, because they seem to be doing just fine. Sometimes you look at them, you see them, they're doing just fine without God, right? But he goes on to kind of expand on that. He says, look, they have no struggles. Have you ever seen that when you're going through life, classmates, coworkers, you look out, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued with human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, people turn to them and drink up their waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? And so he's looking around at the people of the earth, and it seems to him that you know, gosh, as I look around, most people outside the church, sometimes as I make observations, most people seem to be doing just fine. Or sometimes it seems like, gosh, I'm having struggles, and yet they seem to be doing better. They seem to be healthy. They seem to be building wealth. You know, no real struggles to speak of. And so I don't know, you guys. I don't know. Maybe you've if you go a bit further. Sometimes there's times when I just look out around people. And again, I think I've shared this. There's sometimes when I've on a Sunday morning, I'll be driving in. When I used to live in another part of Colossae, I'd drive by this restaurant each morning. Each Sunday morning, and there'd be people out on Sunday morning, and they'd be out there having breakfast out on the patio, and there'd be people reading the newspaper, and then I'd drive by, and there'd be people going for a jog on Sunday morning, you know, and there'd be kind of a part of me that's like, oh man, it'd just be so good to just kind of just sleep in this morning and kind of just, you know, ease in, you know, instead of going worshiping God. And then maybe on another, so there's times when I look around and I'm like, oh, people outside of the church, you know, people that aren't going to worship, they seem to be like, that seems pretty attractive to me. And then there's other times, maybe you know people in your high school, maybe you know people who are your coworkers, who even go beyond that, where it's like they kind of have like a cruel heart. There's people that you know around that maybe are like, oh, what? This person is kind of mean-spirited, and yet, at least they're mean-spirited to me, and yet they seem to be, like, doing really well, and they seem to be successfully navigating through school. Like, they seem to have friends around them, they seem to have, be doing well in school, they seem to be doing well at work or whatever, and yet, man, there's times when they're, like, just kind of cruel to people, kind of at least cruel to me. And sometimes it's like, God, why is it that, like, if we are kind of walking with you, you know, and as we look around, we see other people that are seemingly doing just fine. In fact, I had someone, a student, come to me earlier. She's like, Brady, I'd like to talk with people about I'm with some of my friends, and I'd actually like to share with them about Christ. But when I talk with them, when I start talking with them about it, they don't seem to have any kind of need at all. They don't seem to have any kind of sense of, like, longing or need or hurt or pain, right? And so this is kind of what this psalmist is asking. They have this word, no struggles. If you kind of look at the bottom of your Bible, there's a little side note. It says, struggles at their death, or some have it until death. So it's like, man, they kind of even go through their whole life seemingly building well, seemingly doing just fine, but yet they're just fine. It seems like some of these folks, you know, the way that they live their lives, seems like there should be some sort of due coming to them. There should be some sort of judgment coming to them, but there's nothing that seems to be coming their way. Not only that, in verse 8, it says they actually will, they'll scoff and they'll speak with malice and their arrogance, and in their arrogance they threaten with oppression. And it says their mouths lay claim to heaven. They're like, hey, spiritually also, they may even say like, they live kind of like this kind of life away from God with no kind of respect for God, but they still are like, hey, I'm still fine. Everything, I'm going to end up fine. It says that not only do they lay claims to heaven, but they also lay claims to the things of on earth. Like, you know, things seem to go well for them, right? And so they walk around saying, hey, what does your God give you? What does your God give you that I don't have? I pretty much have everything I need, right? And you go to church every Sunday, but what does your God have? And so the psalmist is kind of like, this drives me crazy. I look around, I see this drives me nuts. Right? And he says in verse 12, this is what the wicked are like. They're always carefree, and they increase in their wealth. So I don't know, you guys. I don't know if you've seen this before. I don't know if you've had this feeling. I'd say that I haven't had those who, you know, throughout my time, I've had challenges at school with people. Like, I remember in high school, I've had like some, you know, arguments or people. I've had fights and stuff. I can't say, I used to work in a kind of an office corporate type setting for a little while, and I kind of look around and I'd see people seemingly doing fine. I don't know if I'd say that I've come across a few people that are kind of mean and stuff, but I don't know if I haven't come across maybe just these wicked, wicked people. But maybe you can probably at least relate to this in the sense of there's been times when you've probably been tempted to go, really, do I really need God? Do I really... Sometimes it seems like it might be easier if I just didn't have to follow him. Because, I mean, Jesus says, you know, there's going to be times when it's tough to follow me. And there's times when you're tempted to go, I think it might just be easier if I'm just going to take a break from following you. I don't want to have to kind of think about what you desire, what you want from me. And so the psalmist is being really honest. He's being really like, hey, it seems like the wicked, they're always carefree. The word is shalom, you know. The word is, they just don't have any, seemingly having no worries. And actually this seems to be, this kind of phrase here seems to be a stumbling block for people coming when they question God. And they're like, yeah, but you have problems. You know, once you know God, it seems like you have problems, and there's people over here that seem to be doing just fine. So there's like, sometimes there's this stumbling block in kind of people kind of knowing and approaching God. He even talks about it openly in verses, look at verse 13 and 14. It says, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued, I've been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. So, you know, it's like this. You guys are running the race right now, right? There are many of you, there's times when maybe this past school year, it was tough to keep on following Christ. It was tough to keep on connected with him, knowing what is right, knowing what he asks from you, knowing what requires from you, knowing like, hey, I want to go on Sunday mornings, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go and I'm going to worship with God's people. That's what he's saying, like, I've been following God, I've been faithful God, I've been like tracking with you, I've been like following what you've asked of me, your principles, what you've desired from me, obeying you. And yet sometimes it seems like it's just in vain. It seems like I just do it, and there's really nothing, no gain from it. You know? In fact, he's like, earlier, he's like, I almost slipped. I almost was like, I don't see any benefit. I don't want to anymore. But he also says this. He's like, even though I've been feeling this, he said, if I had said this, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. And so what he's saying is, like, there's times when, you know, I don't know, maybe you've been in this conversation with people before. Maybe you've had a brother or sister, and it's good. I mean, I think sometimes when we struggle, when we have these kind of thoughts, sometimes when there's someone close with us, we can share openly. You know, definitely I've always shared, we can always share openly with God. We can always be honest with God. This is what the psalmist is doing. I can always be like, God, I'm so frustrated. I'm so struggling. God, why are you forsaking me? And sometimes we can go to brothers and sisters and we can say, where is God in all this? I don't see God in all this. Where is God? But other times, this psalmist has wisdom in holding his mouth closed. He says, look, if I would have shared what I'm feeling, if I would have shared, like, I'm thinking of actually just, it seems like there's really no value in this. And so I'm going to live like those outside the church, you know. He said, if I would have done that, if I would have shared openly this, it would have discouraged a lot of people. It would have discouraged them. He's like, so at the time when I was, you know, some people want to just, when they get frustrated with God, get frustrated with circumstances, get frustrated with life, they just want to speak out loud. And at this point, the psalmist is like, there's times when it takes discernment where we're like, it's just better if we just keep this between us and God. And in this case, this is what the psalmist did. He's like, I don't want to discourage the body. I don't want to tear down the body. It was just this time I was having a struggle with God, and I kept it between him and I. I kept it between just us two. All right? And here comes the best part. It's like, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Until I entered the sanctuary of God and understood, until I entered the sanctuary of God and understood their final destiny. Because you guys, sometimes when we begin to think about these things, when we think about, you know, we just did the 30-hour famine a few weeks ago, and we see, like, just a lot of suffering in the world. We see a lot of pain in the world. We see a lot of people without. Or maybe when you try to, like, sometimes when you're, certain points of life when you're trying to grapple with, why is there so much injustice? Why is there so much, why do those outside the church and those who even do evil, act of evil, why do they sometimes seemingly do so well? He's like, when I try to wrap around my mind around this, he's like, sometimes it was just so oppressive to me. He's like, until I met with God, until I got into the presence of the Lord, okay? That's what changed it for me. And so for you guys, I mean, this whole concept here, this whole thing of, like, until I entered the sanctuary, until I met with God, it can be any number of ways that this can, like, can change the way you begin to think. Because remember, the psalmist was, like, struggling with some calling out to God, struggling with some things. But it was until he got a perspective, until he, like, met with the Lord. And I don't know, sometimes when you guys, I've had it even in a small way. I've come in before to church on a Saturday night or on a Sunday morning, and if I were to be honest and open with people, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I don't feel any kind of desire to worship. But then when you come in, guys, I don't know if you've experienced this. You come in and you just kind of come in and you're like, and then when we begin to sing, when we begin to kind of just focus our mind on the Lord and begin to meet with him, your perspective begins to change. You begin to, like, it begins to change how you view life, change how you view problems. It gives you a perspective from an eternal perspective or a perspective from above that begins to change not your circumstance, but how you think about it. You get a God's perspective. And that is, like, so key. This whole thing of, like, it was so oppressive to me. And then I entered the sanctuary of God. Again, we've been talking on Saturday nights, this whole line of thinking of what we think about ends up to be actions, which ends up to be habits, which ends to be character. But a lot of times what it is like it's getting God's perspective. 2 years ago when we went down into Detroit, we handed out these flyers. We went door to door and we handed out these flyers that were talking about, the title of it was Prayer Changes Detroit. And what it was just an advertisement again for people to come and meet at a park every Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock before work, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for the city of Detroit. We're going to pray for the people. We're going to pray for the leaders. We're going to pray for the church, you know. And, you know, I think it's good. I think it's like, yeah, let's, and I think there's power in prayer. But sometimes what I think what happens when we go into the sanctuary of God, sometimes what happens is it changes your perspective on whatever you're working through, your trial, your problem. It changes your perspective. It changes you more than sometimes even the circumstances around you. And I don't know if we often think that way, if we often think like, when I meet with God, sometimes it's not going to be my circumstances that change. It's going to be how I see it, because I'll have new perspective. The things that were once so large, so looming over us, become not so large. The things that were once discouraging for us become things that can grow us, things that can mature us. The trials that we're going through, you know, become things that can cause us to persevere, cause us to grow, you know, cause us to mature. I mean, this is where it's at, you guys. This is where it comes into play when we're in the midst of life and in trials, right? Verse 18 says, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, as a dream as one awakes. So when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. Okay? So as he met with the Lord, as he went to the sanctuary and got like a different perspective, he kind of realized like, actually when I look around now and I realize, and there's times when I would be tempted to envy those who seemingly are doing really well, he's like, I kind of realize that, man, in the end, they actually are on a slippery slope. They actually are. There is trouble. There is pain in that. There is going to be consequence. There is going to be, you know, judgment in the end for those particular, you know, those, he's talking about the wicked, those who do wicked things but yet seem to be prospering just fine. So he's like, he got a different perspective. And he also says, you know, he also tells God, he also is like, I was, my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered. He's like, God, when I came to you, I don't know, when I talked to you like this, God, it seemed like I was embittered. I was like, my heart, I was just grieving. And I was like a brute beast before you. I don't know if you've ever gotten this way with God before. I don't know if you've ever been so grieved or so upset with God that you are, I mean, I don't want to use the word, I almost fear the word, like, telling God off. Like, I'm going to tell you, how, you know, like, just telling God off, you know? Like, he says I was a brute beast. And I don't want to be disrespectful for God, but I know that, like, God is, I'm so thankful that God has, he's connected with us enough. He's willing for us to go. I can just be totally straight out with you, God. I was angry at the time, and I maybe there's some feeling of maybe even regret, like, oh God, I didn't see what you, before I met with you, I didn't see it all. I didn't see the whole big picture. And so that's why I was so upset. But now that I've met with you, you know, now I can see it. Right? And now I realize you hold me by your right hand. I'm so glad that God's just large enough that we can We can be, you know, we can tell him how we feel. We can tell him exactly what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And I'm so thankful that when we meet with him, like he will, if we connect with him and meet with him in prayer, he will alter how we see things. He will give us a different perspective, his perspective on things. All right, let's close it out with these last few verses. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you take me into your glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth is nothing. Has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all those who are unfaithful to you, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of your deeds. So in the end, he's like, look, in the end, he realizes that, look, as I looked around in the beginning of this psalm, it's like there was things that I wanted, there's things that I like. I look around, I'm like, that lifestyle seems kind of attractive to me. It seems kind of like I kind of would like that. But in the end, he realizes outside of heaven and you specifically in heaven, there's really nothing else I want. In the end, there's really nothing else. On Friday afternoon when you are free and you are like, I have taken my last test, I'm free to go, I can spend my time any way I want to, you know, will it be like, I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to take a few moments because there is nothing else I would rather have than just to talk with you, God. Talk with you, Jesus. Nothing else I'd rather have. One speaker I've heard him say, he said, in heaven, you guys, if we all went to heaven and we could have everything, you know, because you have this picture of heaven of just being place of just great joy, great comfort, great, you get to see, you know, maybe those people that you've longed, you know, who are believers and you've longed to see, you get to see them, and, you know, you get all the stuff, you know, like just, oh, this is going to be paradise there. And he asked the question is, if you could be in heaven and just have all the, you know, all the stuff that God made, everything, all the comforts, all the people around you, but he wasn't there, would you still want it, you know? Would you still want it? Or is it that, like the psalmist says, there's really nothing else. Nothing else compares to you other than just being, seeing your face, just hearing your voice, just to worship you, right? So I don't know. I don't know where you guys are at. I mean, this summer, when you guys look around, you know, I just want us crave and want to be satisfied and find our pleasure. Like, find great joy. Find your highest joy in him. Because I think in the end, we'll be like, when we get to heaven, we'll be like, why didn't we worship you more? You know, why weren't we just, I mean, since we're going to do that for the rest of our days, you know, and we're going to experience him, why didn't we, like, do that more? Why didn't we worship with our lives and just with our hearts and with everything that we've got more? Because it's so enjoyable. It's so pleasurable to be with him. So pleasurable to be with him. Let me close this in prayer and continue our worship, okay? Father, we thank you for this psalmist who could come to you and who expressed to you in all sincerity, all honesty of just where he was at. And I give thanks to you that you are a God that we can express to you in all sincerity, in all honesty, where we're at. And you're the kind of God who has big enough shoulders that we can express our anger, our disappointment. We can be authentic and real with you because there's really no hiding from you. And in fact, I think that it is that you desire us to come to you with all that we are, with where we're at. You desire us. You invite us to bring to you everything that we are, where we're at. But I also give thanks to you that you share with us connectedness with you, that you share, we can commune with you, we can fellowship with you. And I pray, Lord, that you make us thirsty this summer. I pray that we hunger for you. I pray that we don't wait for the retreat to meet with you. But I pray that in our times alone, in our times of community, in our times in our small groups, that that we would commune and meet with you. And Lord, we confess to you that there are truly times when we've like just been tired, we've been weary, we've been upset, we've been in the middle of a trial, and we look outside and we see how it seems like it might be. It's very tempting to seem like it might be just easier. Life might just be easier without you, but Lord, we know that there's true pleasure, true satisfaction, a joy, a deeper joy that's found in you. You're more than enough. You're all that we need, and I pray that we allow you to just satisfy us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.